podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Hallelujah. I believe that today's church, and I believe you sense it, and I hear it in your praise. Can I get a tissue, please? This morning, that maybe I'll put it into words, and I believe the days and years are upon us where Jesus is going to prove to his people that he is indeed all that you need. I'll say it again, he's going to prove to his people, to his bride, that you are indeed all that he need, that we need, no matter what we may be looking for or hoping for. He's going to prove it. And as I spoke last week, as we move forward into the roaring 20s, as we spoke, and it was a prophetic word, actually, that the Lord gave me about the next decade we're moving into, that there will be a roaring 20, and there will be three sources of roaring. There will be a roaring coming from my enemy, the devil, that prowls around like a roaring lion. There'll be a roaring, the Bible says in the Psalms, from even earthly enemies, and the Bible said they would hold up banners as they roared against the people of God, and there'll be a roaring that will rule over them all, the roaring of the lion of the tribe of Judah over his church and over his people. And I started a new, I don't even want to call it series, it's just we're out of the starting blocks now into the year. We came out last week out of the starting blocks, and if it were such as a race, now we're getting into that pace, we're going at that pace, and these messages of starting out, words of preparation. And it just happened to all start with a P, and we preached the first one last week. If you were not here last week, I encourage you to go out to newcitychurch.net and listen to the message. I believe it was just a foundational message for going forward on perseverance. Thank you for all the emails and confirmations I got from so many in the body. Last week, and I still believe that may be the most critical message for believers, the church, as we go forward into what God is doing into the earth. He's doing some glorious things in his people. And I do believe we're going to see increased signs and wonders, but I believe we'll also see increased resistance. And so we as a people need to stay with God, stay with him, stay with Jesus, with perseverance, because things are going to be going on around us that don't look so nice. But for his people, for his church, the Bible says, for his, not a hair on your head will be harmed. Do you believe that this morning? But today is going to be a bit of a different service. I think you're ready for it. We're going to come into the next P. I'm going to talk about prayer, and along with prayer, fasting. Yeah, I heard some. We're going to talk about it. When I was asking God what to say about this message, always whenever I'm preparing to speak to his people, because you're precious, and I stand in this spot, and he allows me to preach to his loved ones, to say something to his loved ones, I take it with a lot of sobriety, because the last thing I ever want to do is say something that gets us off track, or say something that stumbles his people. That's, Lord, help me, protect me. So I always ask God what to say. Week by week, even if I know, I go in the closet, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people this week? What Bible scriptures do you want me to reference? What personal testimonies do you want me to bring forward to use in today's message? And as I was praying last week about this message on prayer, I clearly heard the Lord say this: pray. Pray. So this morning, I'm going to speak briefly on prayer. And along with prayer, fasting. And then we're going to have a very different Sunday service. And I think you're ready for a Sunday service time of prayer. If you're ready, say amen. And why, you know, some may be here from visiting or whatever. And you might say, what? Why do we pray in church on Sunday morning? And often wonder, why is it that when we have prayer services, they're the least attended services? God wants to change that. So I think he wants us to drop it on Sunday when everybody's here and attendance is taken care of. And he wants us to pray. And what I've learned in following God is that when God says to do something, that means God wants to do something. I want you to hear that. I know that's my life and many, anybody who follows me. When God says to do something, when he tells you to do something, it's because he wants to do something. I heard you heard that prophetic word this morning. I don't know why I woke up this morning, Pastor Vicky, and when I went to bed last night, thinking about what to dress, the Lord told me specifically to wear a purple shirt. Truth. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. There was only one color. It had to be there. Now I know. But first, I'm going to talk about fasting. And let me confess right now, church, in case you think you're looking at the holy man of God that's got it all together, I don't like fasting. Some of you looking at me like crazy. What? You don't like fasting? I don't like fasting. And let me say this in case you're wondering, church, to the believer, you're not supposed to like fasting. You're not supposed to like it. And let me say this, if you don't dislike your fast, you have chosen the wrong fast. You're not supposed to like fasting. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to be a sacrifice. It's supposed to be difficult. If it's not, it will not accomplish what God told his people. And even in the Bible, it's really not a command, it's an expectation. Old Testament, it's an expectation. I don't like to fast. So you might ask, why fast? I'm going to give you quickly several reasons in the Bible to prepare your life for moving forward in Christ, to prepare you for whatever God has called you to do. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus fasted, we know, 40 days and nights in the wilderness before he began his earthly ministry. In the Bible, people fasted to seek God's wisdom. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas fasted for wisdom. Give us wisdom as we select the new elders for the churches that we're about to plant. In the Bible, people fasted to seek deliverance or protection. If you look at Ezra chapter 8, Ezra declared a corporate fast for protection for all the Israelites as they made that 900-mile trip from Babylon to Jerusalem. I would submit, just because I know us, that some of us today might need to make a little trip from Babylon to Jerusalem this morning. Can I get an amen? People fasted in the Bible to overcome sin. In Jonah chapter 3, the king of Nineveh, he declared a citywide fast. Everybody in the city fast and repent of sin so that the city would not be destroyed by God. In the Bible, they fasted to increase the effect of prayer life. In Mark chapter 9, when Jesus cast out a demonic spirit, it was a deaf-mute spirit causing a little boy to convulse and threw himself in the fire. And his disciples had tried, but they couldn't cast it out. Jesus said privately as to not embarrass his disciples, this kind can only come out but prayer and fasting. Fasting. It teaches and exercises, look, this is my sentence, I think. Fasting teaches and exercises the discipline of perseverance when things don't go the way your flesh wants it to go. That's what fasting teaches. And that's what it exercises, is that discipline that we talked about last week of perseverance when things don't go the way your flesh wants it to go. When my flesh wants to eat, My flesh wants to go that way, but I'm exercising the discipline. No, I won't go that way. I will go this way. Fasting builds spiritual muscle and endurance so that you can persevere in the face of resistance. That's what fasting does. First the natural, then the spiritual. I love and I don't love this quote by John Piper. Listen to what he says. He says, the absence of fasting is the measure of our contentment with the absence of Christ. That's brutal. And then it goes, Piper adds, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world, our soul is stuffed with small things and there is no room for the great. Boy, is that not us today. So much information, so much stuff. So much to look at, this and that and this. So much to try, this and that and this. Going to grocery stores and they're just loaded with, you know, 10 brands of everything. And a little nibble of this and a little nibble of that and this program and that program. And our soul gets so full of these small, meaningless, relatively meaningless things. When God wants to come and invade for something great, there's no room. Fasting cleanses the small things so that God can come in and speak to you the great things. And that's why we're calling a corporate fast this coming Wednesday, the 15th through the 29th. Calling again, it's not a command, church, it's an invitation to do what the Bible expects believers to do. It's not a legalism. It's not a move. You're not going to hell. You're not damned. You're not, you know, no. It's simply an invitation to go after the greater things. So you might be asking, what should I fast? What should I fast? I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah 58. He says, is this not the fast I choose? And the fast that he was speaking of at that moment did not involve eating, but it involved extreme service to others. But he says, is this not the fast that I choose? And so what I want you to do, I would say, what do you fast? Choose, fast the fast that you choose. But I would say this biblically. You need to fast anything that denies something that you have a very strong daily appetite for. More morning, Lord. Good. Anything that denies something that you have a very strong daily appetite for. Last year, I did a some days total food, a partial food fast, but I also fasted something, social media. And I can tell you right now, it's been a year about today, and I still have not broken that fast. You haven't seen me on social media. So this year, that's not a fast for me because it's just, I'm done with it. And it needed to go because it was taking my focus away daily from, I couldn't hear the Lord clearly because I'm hearing the yap, 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 yap of the world. Too many of us out there looking for likes when what we need is love. The fast you choose. I will say that the biblical best is a partial or total consumption of what goes in your mouth. Partial or total. And in this era of business, something that daily consumes too much of your time, see, you need something that denies your appetite and time in order to increase your appetite and time for this next P of preparation, which is prayer. Denying what takes your appetite and time so that you can take that which is sacrificed and give that appetite and time over to what it's really all about. Prayer. So speaking of prayer, I'm going to talk about prayer, man. I'm going to talk about it in this way. About almost 39 years ago, I was in a young lady's mama's kitchen. And I got down on one knee and I went in my pocket. And I pulled out a $600 ring that I had gotten from Shane Jewelers on MasterCard. And when I bought it, they showed me the big flaw in it. I said, it's okay. She can't see that. But I got down on one knee almost 39 years ago, and I slipped it on the love of my life's finger. And we became engaged. Let me ask you something. What if after the engagement, we seldom or never communicated with each other? We seldom or never called or wrote or talked. How could we learn to live in unison? How would we learn each other's visions and hopes, dreams? How would we learn to recognize the ways each of us communicates? How would we learn if we never spoke, we never talked? How will we grow in our knowledge of each other as the wedding day approaches? You see, for everyone who's a believer today, that was the day in which I believed in a very spiritual, maybe in a very real way. The King of Glory came to you with the ring. And he asked you, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you marry me? And we had a decision to make, just like she had a decision to make. And you said, yes. And you accepted Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your bridegroom. In a period of engagement with Christ, that began, it's really a engagement for a wedding day that is to come. And now what a sad wedding day it would be if on that day when the bridegroom comes, his words to you are something like, I never knew you. You see, prayer, church, is the activity of intimacy with God. Just as my conversation with this lady was the activity of intimacy. If I didn't speak to her, if I didn't acknowledge her with words and the stack of letters I got at home that I wrote her through those years, I still have them at home. If I did not call her in those sweet phone calls to 2 a.m. when nobody wants to hang up first, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you hang up. No, you hang up. Oh, you no, no. I'm like, oh, you hang up. And back then, you know, it wasn't a package plan. You paid long distance by the minute, amen. And so every minute was costing. If I had not done that, would she have married me anyway? Yeah, because she couldn't resist. Yeah. Lord, God didn't tell me to say that. Let me just clear that out. That was. He didn't tell me to say, I repent, Lord, I repent. Whoa. Prayer is the activity of intimacy with God. It's different than worship. It's different from just being good. It's different from going to church. It's different from studying your Bible. And the Bible actually commands us to do these things. But let me just say this right now. You can do all these things religiously and more, and yet without prayer have little or no real intimacy with God. You can. God wants to bless his bride. He wants to bless us, but in order to receive what he has for, in order to receive what was prophesied to you this morning, in order for, to receive what he has for us, and in order us to even know what to do, what he wants us to do through us, we must pray. We must pray. We must pray. So today I'm asking for a very different Sunday service. And in order to prepare your spirit and my spirit for the fast that's coming up and for this service and to prepare your hearts for this activity of intimacy with God, right now I want you to begin a fast. Right now. And here's what I want you to fast. I want you to fast any and every thought that distracts you from prayer. Any thought that will resist prayer. That's a fast that you need to go into every time you go to pray. I find if I don't, it's so easy for 10 or 15 minutes into prayer, I slip out of prayer. Anybody been there but me? So fasting right now, any thoughts that distract, and I'm going to say that right now, if you're uneasy with that, let me just say it's okay. It's okay if you're uneasy with that, but that should lead you to another question, and that question is, why am I uneasy with that? God wants us to be at ease coming to him in prayer, and he desires intimacy with you. How many of you got a little prayer guide as you came in the door? Please hand me one, Daphne. Oh, Roger. No, not that one. Oh, both of them. That one, yeah. Did everybody get this coming in the door? If you didn't, wave your hand real high and the ushers will bring you one. And we also have Spanish. If you say Spanish, just holler Spanish. It's okay. Espanol, yeah. I put this together, this prayer guide, and I want you to keep it. And I want you to keep it throughout the fasting and prayer. You might want to keep it beyond. Well, let's come on. Ushers are fast, but you know, there you go. And this is out of my personal prayer life. This is the way I pray when I sit down to pray. And the first thing I do, and this is the guide that I want you to maybe consider today. I pray from the Lord's Prayer, but I pray like this. In Matthew 6, chapter 9, Jesus didn't say necessarily pray this. He said, in this manner pray. He said, in this manner pray. It's fine to pray the Lord's Prayer, but what he was just telling his disciples, here is a pattern. So I wrote down, really, for years, I've been opening prayers this way. In this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, it's time for me to be prayers of exalting God, declaring his glory, sovereign power over the universe, declaring the power of his name, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are prayers of submission to his will. Your kingdom come, his word, his purposes in my life, in your life, in the earth. Your will be done in the earth. Your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. These are my personal prayers. God, help me. Prayers for healing, prayers for provision, all the things I need daily as I live this life for him. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Jesus said. This isn't like a debt where you owe somebody something. These are prayers for forgiveness of everyone that has sinned against you. With the understanding that forgiveness of our debt of sin is contingent on our forgiveness of others. And do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. This is prayers of repentance for my known sins and for the power to open my heart to the way of escape the Bible says he always provides. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is where I pray against declaring his absolute and eternal dominion and power in the earth. Janine, you can come on up. And then don't leave out amen. What amen means is it is so. This is acknowledging my absolute belief that God hears and answers my prayer according to his will and according to my faith. And then that's the prayer for myself. After I lay down and I pray this, and I pray it over and over, just going by the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. And I've got that pattern memorized in my heart, memorized in my spirit. It's the order of my coming to him when I'm praying for myself, when I'm presenting myself to God. He told me to pray in this manner, so I pray in this manner. And then I pray for others. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then when I prayed everything I know about, I want to pray for what I don't know about. And that's when that glorious gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues begins to flow out of me. And if you don't have that gift yet, maybe you need to take this time to pray to receive that gift. He said, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for your grandchildren, and every generation afterwards that came since Pentecost. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So what I'm going to do, we're going to take about 20 minutes and change to a non-typical Sunday service. Fast every thought that wants to resist praying. And you can pray out loud. You can pray quietly. You can pray alone. You can pray others, you can come to the altar, you can go in the back. But when God asks us to do something, it's because he wants to do something. Do you believe that? Can we do this, church? New City Church, God wants to take us corporately and individually to another level. We've got to persevere. And this morning, I'm asking, inviting you, not commanding, to persevere in prayer. So I'm going to be quiet now. And you don't have to be quiet, or you can be quiet. Invite you to go by the pattern in front of you. And we're simply going to pray. Amen. Let it be so.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.